Shall we begin?
Let's begin now.
You're listening to the Dishin' and Swishin' podcast on HoopFeed.com.
Hi, everybody. This is David Siegel, and I'm very happy to welcome you to a special Dishin' and Swishin' podcast this week. We are previewing the WNBA playoffs, and I have two very, very special guests that I love having conversations with, and combining them only makes the pleasure doubled. And that is first Coach Lynn Dunn. Coach, how are you today?
I'm great.
And I'm pleased to welcome back our Connecticut Sun, former Rookie of the Year, now having completed a less than stellar second year because of injury and not being able to play. Janae Agumake, it's great to have you back on the podcast, Janae.
Hello. Aloha.
You know, Janae, first question is, are you going to freestyle for us about the playoffs?
No, I can't. Unless Coach Dunn agrees to do it as well. You know, I don't want to steal the show because it's
well,
our show, we all know this.
Well, Coach, can you freestyle for us? I mean, I'd love to hear that with the twang.
Well, I'm not sure I know what freestyling is other than a form of
than swimming?
A swim stroke.
Yep. It works.
I'm old school.
Hey, old school is good school.
Isn't that the truth? Well, let's get started right away with, we'll start with the Thursday games, which are the two versus three matchups. Indiana goes into Chicago in the East, and Tulsa goes into Phoenix in the West. Now, first thing, you know, Tulsa makes it, congratulations to the Shock on making the playoffs for their first time in Tulsa, and I'm sorry for the Shock because it's the last time you'll be making the playoffs in Tulsa. So, you know, Coach, how about the way that Fred Williams was able to keep the team focused after that news came out and turn around what had been a losing streak and get back on track and finish with that third seed?
Well, I think you have to give Fred an awful lot of compliments for what he was able to do, because not only did he deal with losing the team in the city, but some serious injuries. You know, he had a lot of Odyssey's out early, and then he loses Schuyler for the whole season, and then he's got to deal with losing the team. So I thought he did a great job keeping them on track, getting them back focused, and getting into the playoffs for the first ever time. Kudos to Coach Fred Williams.
Now, it is a great story that they got there. Now, the guards, Odyssey Sims and Raquena Williams, were phenomenal on that team. Now, Janae, obviously you only get to play Tulsa twice during a season, but, you know, an unsung player on that team is definitely the inside game of Courtney Paris, and then Plinette Pearson had a big year. You know, the two of them are just so strong in the paint, but they're going to be going against Brittany Griner and Candace Dupree. That's going to be a tough matchup.
Absolutely. I think that is one of the hardest matchups as a post, because obviously Brittany Griner is a tall task, and Plinette, I think she's really asserted herself as the vocal and post leader of that team. So just seeing the experience of Plinette versus, you know, the youth and the talent of Brittany will be really intriguing. But then Candace Dupree, she's the silent assassin. You know, a lot of people don't speak of her, but she is easily one of the best players in our league, and she's just smooth. So that's a tough guard as well. But Courtney Paris, as like you already said, she is also, you know, a physical specimen. She's a true center. She loves to rebound, which is not like a lost art, but it's definitely a valued rarity nowadays, just someone that's determined to get every rebound. And then she's also a system player. So there's so many nuances to the strengths and the differences of the posts on that team, on Tulsa and on Phoenix. So I think it's going to be really interesting.
So Brittany's a tall task, huh? I see what you did there, Janae.
Yeah, it's a little pun. I'm trying to bring a little pun.
Coach, you know, then at the same time, you know, I had you talk about Fred and what he did, but then you look over at Sandy Brondello, and last year's Coach of the Year, she loses Diana, loses Penny Taylor. They add Monique Curry. They deal with the off-the-court mess with Brittany and her suspension. And, you know, and here they are. They did challenge even for the West, even with a different cast of characters in there, and making up for the time that they lost at the beginning.
Well, I think you've got another example of a coach doing a great job dealing with adversity. Fred had to deal with his Sandy had to deal with losing two key people, the dealing with the Griner situation. And what you do is you just do the best that you can do with what you've got. And I think Sandy's done a great job with what she had to deal with. I want to mention something else about Tulsa. I think one of the reasons that Tulsa is better this year than they've ever been is that with the addition of Pearson and Karima Christmas, I think they added some toughness. You know, they've always had some talent, but they added some toughness that they've had.
Now, you coach Karima Christmas, and she's one of those, again, you know, you mentioned the unsung players. She can go out there, she can play the two, the three, or the four for you, and she's always going to be aggressive and go after every loose ball and be on the floor. You know, those are the type of players that are a coach's dream.
Well, you know, Tulsa's never had physical players like Christmas and Pearson. Nobody wants to take on those two. They're going to hit you. They're going to bump you. They're going to jam you. They're going to fight you. And they're relentless. And I think that they've added that toughness to them. That's why they're dangerous.
You know, now, Janae, going back to the other side now, we'll go across to the East in the Thursday games and talk for a few minutes there. Two of my favorite players are on the court, you know, the MVP, Elena Deladon, and the most tenacious player in the league for the last 10 years, Tamika Catchings.
Yes.
That's going to be that's just a great matchup. The two of them just can do so many things on the court. Can you talk for a second about what it's like to play against each of those two players?
First of all, I think it's going to be a great moment for our league, you know, pre-Tamika Catchings exit, because it's sort of like the changing of the guard, I guess you can say. Elena is the new young face of the league with MVP. You know, you think about all the things that we're missing this season from the WNBA, and you see how Elena has really helped maintain the relevance of the sport this year. And to go up against someone who is as storied and historic and beloved as Tamika Catchings, people will automatically tuned in. Now we're talking specifically about the game. I think that Tamika, as Coach Dunn knows, her mentality is contagious. And when it comes to playoffs and playing at home, they make a very fearsome competitor. But at the same time, you're facing Elena, who has sort of been contagious herself, creating this high-powered offense in Chicago led by Coach Pokey, and offense is their defense. And then you look at Indiana, where defense is their offense. So there's so many cool things going on in that narrative, off the court, on the court, that I think it's going to be a really interesting matchup.
Now, Coach, this is 3 years in a row that these teams have ended up playing. You, of course, were part of two of them. You know, Steph White started out the season really pushing offense, and it seemed like the team forgot the defense. And then she was able to right the ship and get them back on track. You must be really proud after coaching with her and helping to mentor her to see that she turned this team into such a strong 20-win team in the East, in a difficult Eastern Conference.
Well, obviously, I'm tremendously proud of what Steph's done. I do think early on, her first year as the head coach, she really emphasized the side of the court that she favors, which is offense, but realized real quickly that she needed to spend a little bit more time on defense and quickly did that, and it's made a huge impact on this team. And I think you have to remember this. Not only does this team have Tamika Catchings, but it has Breanne January, Shavonte Zellis, Erlena Larkins, players that have not only been in the playoffs but have won a championship. So I think their experience is what's going to test Chicago with their youth. You know, Indiana's been where Chicago would like to go.
You know, one of the things that really is interesting for both teams is, you know, with the amount of big centers that are out there, neither of these two teams is particularly strong in the paint. Erica came over to Chicago late. She could have an impact. Larkins, of course, we know plays, you know, much tougher than her height. But it benefits both teams that they don't have to play against Tina Charles or Stephanie Dolson and Brittany Griner and all these other big posts in the first round of the playoffs. But, you know, again, Chiney, I'm going to turn to you as you've done the battles inside. Erlena Larkins in particular, you know, is just so strong and so tough to play inside that, you know, they use their size in ways that many people can't.
Coach Dunn, you can attest to this. This is a perfect question because when I played you against you at Indy, I know you opened the game with Elena going at me. first three plays of the game. So you're like, go at that rookie. And she really gave me motivation to learn how to defend in this league. And that was all because of you, Coach Jeff. So thank you and not thank you, because it sort of embarrassed me, but then at the same time, it showed me what I needed to work on. So before I answer that question, I had to say thanks, but no thanks, obviously. But no, it was funny. It was a good moment. It was a rookie moment, a welcome to the league moment. But one thing I know about Indiana, even though they may not have the big names of, like, you know, a Brittany Griner inside or a Tina Charles, they will kill you come in the paint with their guard play. They love to be aggressive. If they can get easy baskets, whether that's in transition or coming hard off a screen to get into the paint, Brianna is not afraid to do that. Tamika obviously will dice in there from the outside, even though she spots up a lot. So I think that that's going to be a very interesting defensive assignment for Chicago, to see how people can react to the aggressive nature, not only defensively, but offensively by the Indiana guards.
And Chicago's guards have certainly been no slouches with Vandersloot, Quigley, and Cappy now, assuming that Cappy is healthy to play. So, Coach, I think you were going to chime in and make a comment there.
Well, I was going to comment on Shanae's first comment about going at her. Well, you know, I wouldn't have been a very good coach if I hadn't tried to take advantage of a rookie. That's, you know, that was part of the game plan. Was
absolutely.
To establish that inside game. But I do think that's going to be a key in this series, you know, who can score in the paint. And I think Chicago with DeSantos, D'Souza, and Parker, they're awfully big and strong and deep at the center position, you know. But, you know, only one person can be out there at a time, and thank goodness. And so I think it's going to be a battle down there in the paint. This time last year, you know, we were attacking Chicago with Sylvia Fowles down there, and that was a huge challenge. Sylvia's not there anymore, and the question is, can those three centers fill that spot?
And it's a very good question, because we've seen games where they've been very good, and we've seen games where they've been not so good. So, you know, that will be interesting to see. But Chicago did sweep the regular season 4-0. Coach, does the regular season come into play, or do you when you're getting ready for a playoff series, or only if you can use it as a motivating factor like that, saying, see, we already beat them 4 times?
Well, I think that's a great question, and I think, Ms. Agumike could talk about that. I think it gives you confidence as a player knowing you've already beaten someone 4 times. However, you also might tend to relax just a little bit and maybe be a little bit overconfident and overlook someone that you've beaten 4 times. So I think it could go either way. It could be a plus, but it could also be a minus. You know, it's time for Indiana to win a game.
Janae, what do you think about that? Is it something when somebody had already beaten you? I mean, the Pac-12 always played home and home against everybody, and then you ended up playing teams in the tournaments. You know, if you had been defeated by that team earlier, is that more of a motivator, or do you, with you, everything's a motivator? So.
First of all, Coach Dunn's right. As a competitor, if I see a team that we've swept, I'm going to be like, we are the better team. If we go out there, play our game, and are committed and focused, which you should be hyper-focused, then you should be able to get the job done. But there is no place that you can send more fuel to the fire than Indiana. Especially now, we all know that late down the stretch, they play hard, they play well, they play together. We know that home court is a big advantage for them. So I think if Chicago's looking in, they're saying, we know we can do this. Now it's our job not to relax and to take this game with urgency. And Indiana is going to be as motivated as ever as well. So I think that's what I'm saying. This is a really great matchup.
Coach, I want to
David,
ask you one last.
Yeah, let me say one other thing. You know, don't forget that Chicago is not playing in the Rosemont where they play all their home games. So technically they've given up their home court to play downtown. I think there's something already scheduled in their arena. So that could be a factor.
Which was exactly what my question was going to be. Is that a factor when you lose that kind of home court?
Well, I think it could be. I mean, you know, Chicago, the trip from Indiana up to Chicago is not that long, so it's not like travel's going to be a huge issue. But they're playing in a facility that they've not played in for a year, and the last time they played in that facility was when they lost in the playoffs to Phoenix.
Okay, so let's put a wrap on this series and the Phoenix-Tulsa series. Coach, who are you picking to win these series?
Well, I'm going to have to go with the underdog philosophy here in the East. I think Indiana's an underdog, and I think they play really, really well when they're an underdog. So I'm going to go with Indiana in three. And then out West, I would love to pick Tulsa because they're the underdog, but without Skylar Diggins, I just don't see it happening. Phoenix has got too many weapons, so I see Phoenix winning that series in the West.
Today, Connecticut winning in the East.
You know better than to ask me. I'm all for one. You know, ask me next year when we're in the playoffs, and I'll tell you Connecticut's winning. That's my only prediction.
Yeah, I figured that was going to be the answer. Okay. Well, but you could say, well, Connecticut beat Chicago, but Indiana beat Connecticut, so all right, we'll let it go.
Let bygones be bygones.
Okay, then Friday we kick off the 1-4s in both series. We've got New York versus Washington as we resume the Bill Laimbeer versus Mike Tebow playoff confrontations. And then out West, we've got Los Angeles versus Minnesota, and that also should be a tremendous series. So let's start with the East. I've admitted it, and I'll continue to admit it. I sure did not expect New York to be this good this year. I did not expect them to gel as well as they did, the pieces to fit together as well as they did, and I got to give credit to Coach Laimbeer and his staff, especially Katie Smith, who seems to be more vocal on the sidelines than Laimbeer is these days. But, you know, Tina Charles and Epiphany Prince are as good a 1-2 combination as there is out there. Chiney, you have, of course, seen them a great deal this year, seeing New York. I thought New York was the best team that I've seen this year. How would you rate them compared to some of the other teams out there? I'm not going to ask you to say they're the best team in the league or anything like that, but just talk a little bit about what you've seen out of New York and what has made them so good.
Yeah, I think that they have a very special quality that all teams want. On paper, you may say that, you know, other teams match up well with New York, but this team knows everybody knows their role. Everyone provides something that is very significant to their culture of winning. And that culture also includes defense. And when you pride yourself on defense, they always say that's what wins championships. Breaks you apart, breaks you if you consistent wins. So on paper, you look at New York, and some people are like, wow, I'm surprised that they're succeeding so well. It's not just that paper cohesion. It's the chemistry that they have when they play, the urgency that they have on both sides of the basket, and then also, you know, the diversity of roles of in which, like, Epiphany, a scorer on the outside, Tina, a scorer from the inside, Stokes coming in as a great defender but then finishing around the basket, Swin being a vocal leader and someone with championship experience. And then, you know, you had Brittany Boyd, who brought a lot of flash and increased the tempo. There's so many nuances, you know, a shooter when you need one with Sugar, so many nuances to that team that makes them not only good but really look great, especially this time, because everything is coming together and they play with an urgency.
Coach Dunn, Tanisha Wright is one person that I think people tend to overlook, and her experience playing alongside Sue Bird, being able to slide over between the different guard positions, I think she has been invaluable to that team. But you get two ball handlers that can defend like she and Piff, and they can swap roles. It's hard to defend because you can certainly get either one of them open at any time, and they can find the right person.
Well, David, you took my comment right out from under me. I was going to say, in my opinion, this time last year, New York is not in the playoffs. What is the biggest difference? And I actually think the biggest difference is the acquisition of Tanisha Wright. I think now New York has a toughness, a defensive presence, a floor leader with a championship ring that they did not have a year ago. And I think that's been the biggest change that I have seen in this team. And I think that's why it makes them probably the regular season Eastern Conference champion and a real threat to get to the finals. But I think they're going to have their work cut out against Washington.
They most certainly are. And that is a team that also, top to bottom, you look at the roster and you can say, but you put the pieces out there and Michael rotate in different people and, you know, they've swapped Natasha Cloud into the starting lineup and Bria Hartley is coming off the bench now. And, you know, you got Dolson and Vaughn inside and, you know, adding LaToya Sanders. You know, there's just a lot of pieces on that team, and it still runs. You've talked about the veteran presences, Coach. Latta and Lawson are still, in my opinion, the key to Washington's success.
There's no doubt about that, and I think a key to that will be Lawson's health. You know, she's been in and out the whole season, and I think her health will be a real key factor in this. And I also think if Washington is able to sustain the physicality of New York, New York is going to play the Bill Laimbeer physical hit you, bump you style. And so Washington has to handle that. They're more of a finesse team. But if they can weather the physicality of the game, then I think they've got a shot.
Now, Janae, you look at Washington's inside game, and like I mentioned, Dolson was an all-star this year. But one player that I really like that I know you've played against overseas and here is Emma Mieseman. And for such a young player, you know, she seems to finally be buying into – Mike has been – for 2 years now, Mike Thibault has been talking about how she is a star and should be a star. She seems to be believing it now, and she had an all-star year this year. And that, to me, could be a matchup that may be a little difficult for New York to have to cover, that big power forward, unless they're going to put Tina on her, and then you run into a whole different set of issues.
I'm telling you, Emma Mieseman is slippery. She is one of the toughest people to guard in the league, and people sometimes want to be shocked because they're just getting to know her name. But she's very European in her game. She has counter moves for her counter moves. And she is very versatile as well. She can come into the paint and find a way to slip past you, or she can hit the face-up shot up to 20 or so feet. So you always have to be on guard around her. She's very, very slippery to defend, which makes her really good. And you can see her confidence growing as a player. Before, you know, she'd be not complacent, but she'd be happy to share the ball when she could be selfish and honestly take over. And I think that's why she's an all-star this year, because she's listening to her coach. The system is doing well. She plays with Dolson, who loves to share the ball, and they feed off of each other really well. So I was really excited to see her break out, and then also to show people why in the East, guarding against her is not easy at all.
That is for sure. And so it'll be in, you know, we'll have to see what shakes out there and who's going to step up for which team, because both of them have relied on different people at different times. You know, the Charles and Prince are the obvious stars and the big names in the series, but, you know, you had mentioned Sugar Rogers has done it during the season, and, you know, Swin has done it with her leadership and can make a big shot, so we'll have to see what happens there. But let's go out west, and you want to talk about star power. When you're dealing with Maya Morris, Simone Augustus, Lindsey Whalen, Sylvia Fowles, you know, everybody else on Minnesota, basically. And then you add in Candace Parker along with the rest of the players on the Sparks. You know, some forward with a name I can never pronounce, Aguimi or something. She's pretty good, I hear. This could be a fun series. But, you know, you look at the Sparks record, and, Coach, you know, I know a lot of it had to do with Parker missing time, and I know a lot of it had to do with various injuries at different times, but it did seem like it really was a tough time for the Sparks to get on the same page. And they did drop some games, even with everybody together, that they probably shouldn't have.
Well, David, I think people don't understand sometimes how difficult it is to try to put in a system. You've got a new coach in Brian Agler. For him to put his system in and never have training camp with everybody. Here comes Parker. Beard goes out. You know, we've got all the injuries that we're dealing with. The Bumake's in and out. You know, so they never had a chance to work together. So they had to use games to try to get their offensive and defensive system set. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I've watched a lot of games this year, and I don't see a team more dangerous going into the playoffs than the L.A. Sparks.
I think that, you know, and they're still, just to go back to what you were saying too, they're still not complete because Aaron Phillips was supposed to be there and is not. And then Tolo tears up her knee at the end, towards the end of the regular season, and she's out. So this still isn't
right.
The entire team that Coach Agler had anticipated. But, you know, adding Dabovich was a great pickup. She is, as a 26-year-old player that's new to the league, she's been very, very good. You know, to me, Elena Beard has been one of the keys, though. You look, and they got hot when she was in the lineup. They struggled a little bit when she was out. And Beard's defense and leadership certainly helps push some of the players in the right direction. So I think that that's an important part of that team. Now, Chinay, let's talk a little bit about the post game in Los Angeles.
I wonder why.
And that Aguimi girl, you know.
she sort of looks like me. People tell me that all the time.
It's unbelievable the way it is. But I heard she only has half the game you have.
Right? I think she's like a copycat. She definitely is copying whatever I do.
But you look in the combination of Candace Parker and NECA, it is clearly a very dominant combination and tough to defend. But I want to ask you, now you look in Minnesota, and you look at Sylvia Fowles and either Asia Jones or Rebecca Brunson, whoever they decide to throw out there, and that's a physical combination to go against, too.
Yes, but one thing you mentioned was twos and twos, but I think Los Angeles has threes with Gentle Lavender, who has been a great player throughout the year, very consistent during the ups and downs as well. And I think that a big asset towards Los Angeles' success is how they've been able to share different roles, Candace, NECA, and Gentle. But at the same time, we all know Minnesota, you know, no matter what type of season they had, you know, their struggles and obviously their successes, they come to play. And when the Maya Moore is Maya Moore. So I think that it's a very intriguing system going up against Brian Agler and Coach Del Reeve. But then it's also going to just be playmakers making plays. And it happens to be Candace Parker, who's post-led, and Maya Moore, which is guard-led. So it's going to be interesting to see which side comes out heavier or more successful.
Well, see, I left Gentle out because then I would have had to talk about how NECA has to cover Maya. And I wanted to stay away from that one to ask you about that one. But Maya at the three and NECA at the three when they play against each other is a matchup that's difficult for both of them on both ends, NECA having to go outside to defend Maya, Maya having to go inside to defend NECA. So, you know, both teams are going to need to give help on the other team's stars, that's for sure.
Yeah, but the interesting thing to me is just how both of them, when they're in their comfort zone, they're in their comfort zone. And NECA, you know, she's been playing lately more the four. Maya, obviously, I don't think guards are in that position. Maya plays the three, and NECA, I'm not sure. Sometimes, like, the benefit of LA is that they have three guards, the three bigs that can switch a lot. So the responsibility defensively is on the collective unit. So I think that's you know, going to be obviously just a team strategy, you know, playing defense, team strategy, playing defense, guarding whoever needs to be guarded. So it's been an interesting discussion between NECA and I throughout the year, her playing the three. But at the end of the day, you do what's best for your team, and she was willing to put on whatever hat she needed to for them to be successful because God knows she wanted to be in playoffs, especially when they were at the point with three wins, you know, come midway through. So she was like, whatever it takes, I'll do it.
I have no doubts about that. Now, Coach, you know, the other thing, of course, is Maya was forced towards the end of the season to even play some guard because of the injury situation that Minnesota had with Augustus and Whalen both being out. Now, both have been listed as probable for the series now, but, you know, if Augustus and Whalen are not 100%, then that's going to have a major impact on this series.
Well, there's not any doubt about that. And I think the interesting thing about this series is we've not seen the very best Minnesota team, I don't think, all year. It just seemed there was the trade and then getting Sylvia Fowles in the mix and then Waylon's hurt, Augustus is hurt, you know. So we've not seen their best play. If Augustus and Whalen are healthy and Fowles is now finally comfortable in a new system, The Minnesota team is extremely dangerous. They've got championship experience. They've got championship rings. But they're taking on, as I said, a very dangerous, big, long, quick, athletic, well-coached Sparks team. I think this is going to be the best matchup of the first round.
You know, one thing that when they made the trade for Fouls, one of the things, you know, I was on the same bandwagon that you did about talking about Coach Hagler. I wasn't so sure that Fouls was a great fit that was going to immediately make an impact and Minnesota would dominate, like some people said, because she is a true low post player, and she's used to getting back to the basket and not passing out as that much. And this is a team that you deal with Maya and Lindsay, and you know, those are people that like to take the ball to the basket. And, yeah, it's great to dish to Syl when she's there, but she can also get in the way sometimes when they're trying to penetrate and kick. So I think going back to what you said about Coach Hagler, I think it's been a little tough for Coach Reeve to try and get these people into the lineup and then add on the injuries. And, you know, it's a different kettle of fish when you get ready to play towards the playoff time now.
Well, and don't forget this. Sylvia does not actually fit into their system offensively. She's not a high post passer from that elbow in their chin sets like Tosh McWilliams was, like McCarville was. And so she is going through a real adjustment period, as well as the whole team is, about where to put her.
So then let's get down to brass tacks. And it sounds, Coach, like you're thinking upset again in this series too.
Well, I didn't say that now. I thought it depends on who's – if Minnesota is healthy, if Augustus and Waylon are healthy and they can play, I'm picking Minnesota. If they're not, then I'm definitely picking L.A.
And, Janae, you're going to tell me that you hope that it's a good series and everybody stays healthy, right?
No. You know, I'm out. I got to root for my sister. I want my sister to have some success. I can be biased here.
Okay, we'll let you. No problem. All right, now let's look at the East. And, Coach, you know, New York is tough. Washington is a good matchup against them. You know, it's a tough one.
It's a tough one, but I'm going to have to go with New York. They've got the home court, and they've got Tina Charles right now playing the best up center play in a long time. And with the addition of Wright and her mental toughness leading that team, she's now the head of that team. I think they're going to have the edge, and I think they're going to win. But it's going to go three.
Now, I am hearing rumblings down the road that New York might have to give up the Garden, too, as if they continue to play because of the Pope.
Out. Where are we going?
They're not sure yet. They're not sure yet. New York, the Liberty are fighting against it, and they're trying to get things done to make it work, asking the league about possibilities of reschedulings. But the Pope is coming in, and they need time to set up for the Pope.
Yeah, he's the most famous guy on earth, I understand.
Yeah, does he have a post game, though?
I don't know, but maybe we can come to a compromise, get him a nice courtside seat.
Let him, you know, the Pope sitting beside Bill Laimbeer. That could be really, really interesting.
I don't know about that. We might need to have him against next to Mrs. President.
Sounds
that's
good.
A little better.
Well, I want to thank both of you for taking time to discuss this first round of the playoffs today. You know, it's always great. Janae, we can't wait to see you getting on the court again. And Lynn, we just love talking to you anytime you want to talk. You know you have an open invitation on any subject.
Coach, you're amazing. I just wanted to say that really fast. I've always been a huge fan, and I look forward to hopefully getting to know you a little bit more in your free time.
Well, good luck in your future, and stay healthy.
That is the plan. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Enjoy the playoffs. I think they're going to be some great series. Remember, folks, Thursday and Friday they tip off. Ladies, thanks again. Good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.